Assalamu alaikum, guys. Welcome to the next phase. What episode are we on now? I don't even know. But this episode is with Mohammed from Holland, who you guys must see us, Musa, Ali, and myself, spend a lot of time with. He comes down a lot. We discuss why he's always down in the UK. We also discuss how his blindness has affected him, in the sense that, Mohammed basically speaks about how he decided at a very young age that he wants to become independent, regardless of his visual impairment. We know from the past video I made with Mohammed that he can only see 1%. Medically, he's been told that he only has 1% vision. So we discussed kind of what that's like, but mainly what he wants to do to kind of change and help people who also are visually impaired and also have other disabilities, both mental and physical disabilities. So it's really interesting, actually. It's quite a cool episode. We got Musa in the room as well, so he butts in at some point. And that's it. This episode is brought to you by Izaha.com, Izaha.com. It's an Arabic clothing brand, hats, t-shirts, hoodies, top quality stuff. And let's just go straight into the podcast. Okay, we are live, Mohammed.
Faisal, I noticed.
Noticed what?
I noticed that we're live.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming all the way down from Holland to my podcast.
You're paying my flight fare, isn't it?
I'm not. I'm not paying the flight fare. I should have probably set up all of the stuff before I started recording, actually.
Yeah, you probably should. But then again, Aki, you're you, innit? So we know what to expect.
You know what? I was on the podcast with Abs, who's right. Also a Somali. Big okay. Up the Somalis.
Right.
And he was saying that we were talking about you because he was saying that it's really, because he's lived with me. So I was like, what's your experience living with me? Because they say that you only know a person when you've lived with them or traveled with them or done business with them.
Right. Right.
And then we mentioned that that he said that it's a bit different. And I said, oh, Mohammed said
what
the same.
Sense?
Actually, wait, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Speak again.
Yeah, I can speak again.
Okay,
as well.
I was in the wrong ear. So basically, he was saying that I was different and stuff, and then I said, "Oh, Mohammed, who travelled with me,
right.
Also said that he was surprised." Basically,
well,
what was your experience?
I can describe you very easily.
Let me just quickly ask the question. So
that was really rude to point at a person, right, Faisal?
I didn't think you could see me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, okay, there goes the insult. First
strike. It's not an insult. It's just
first strike.
It's not an insult. It's just a
first strike. I give you three this episode.
It was just I legit didn't know. Okay. What is it like? Because you traveled with me. We did a tour together. We did
right.
The Halal Dine tour
right,
together.
Yes, yes. We're yeah. Famous, I know.
So basically, you know me.
You?
Yeah.
Well, you know what that is, Yaki. I can describe you as two types. People who won't live with you or won't get to see you for 2, 3, 4 days in a row, like for 24 hours. They'll see you as this jolly guy who's just completely energized and lovely, bubbly, and all of that, right? But the moment they live with you and they start joking around with you, kind of pushing your buttons, because that's actually what friends do, right? We're brothers, we all love each other, so we're trying to find the edges. We find how far can we take this joke, right? But with Faisal, he can just snap at you like that, literally, like sting you like that. You think Muhammad Ali butterfly effect or is bee sting in that sense is quick? Faisal's either his jabs are faster than that, you get me? Proper. On it. So that's how I would describe you. You're very you have this.
Are you saying I'm fake?
No, definitely not. You have this peak of emotion, but you know how suddenly it comes?
Yeah,
that's how quickly it goes as well.
Okay, but can I give you, and I don't want to can I give you something that I heard recently, and it was so beneficial to me when I heard it.
Yeah? All right, then go on.
I was listening to a series about the Sahaba,
right.
And one of the episodes was about Abu Bakr Siddiq. Yeah, and it said that Abu Bakr Siddiq, everybody knew him for his like good characteristics and everything, but everybody also knew him for having a really short temper.
Right,
and he'd get a short temper very quickly, but people would be very forgiving to it because as quick as it would come, it would also go very quickly, and he'd be very quick to apologize. Yeah. And as much as I don't want to compare myself to the Sahaba, I'm not saying anyway I'm like the Sahaba.
No,
I'm saying like that characteristic of getting angry quickly.
Right,
I was like, oh man, that's relatable. And do you know what? No, I'm not saying like I said that I'm like the Sahaba. But what I am saying is that it made me feel like, do you know what?
Mm.
That's a relatable thing. Like because the Sahaba were the that's typical Musa. The Sahaba are typical. Sorry, the Sahaba are like what we want to try and be like.
But so at the end of the day, Aki, at the end of the day, you should compare yourself like Sahaba personalities, right?
Yeah.
And a personality necessarily is not it's not better than someone else. Your deeds is what defines you as a person.
Yeah.
But your certain personality, that is something Allah Subhanahu wa Taala creates within you, just like you have those eyes or you have that ear, those ears or that nose, right? Basically, it's not something you have any control over necessarily. It's you just trying to do the best with the tools Allah gave you and try to excel with that, right?
But yeah, my point though is that
no, but in that sense you can compare yourself to that, fair enough. Yeah. Even though there is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, once someone said, a Jewish man said to him, hey, you guys always asking for sadaqah in the name of God, your God is poor, that's why he's asking for money.
Yeah.
You know what Abu Bakr said to him? What? He said, go, it was not even a Jewish guy, it was a mushrik, excuse me. He said, go lick the clitoris of Uzza, of your idol. Yes, it's recorded in Sahih Bukhari. These pagans, some of them...
Are you sure? I don't want to have this on my podcast. Yes.
No. It's proper pig.
My podcast can give a few hits.
No, it's proper pig. It's recorded. It's been recorded in history books.
Okay.
So Abu Bakr lashed out that moment. He lashed out. And he's not known for lashing out like that. But then again, someone insulted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you could see his emotions go sky high. Because the guy, the mushrik guy, called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poor.
Yeah.
Abu Bakr was not having that. He was definitely not having that.
That's crazy, man. It's insane.
Right.
But it makes you realize that No, this is podcasting, man. It makes you realize that like the Sahaba who were some of the most righteous people,
right,
they have traits like us,
they're
humans, exactly, they're humans,
right.
So they also had to work on traits such as short temper, they also had to work on traits such as maybe not having as much patience, and but the difference between us and them is that their deeds and their fear of Allah allowed them to work on their traits or allowed them to quickly rectify their problems, right?
Well, yeah, basically you could see that their objective was to become better people, right? Because in you could basically say, just before they had the tarbiyah, just before they had the forming, like the upbringing that the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave them in those 23 years of prophethood, they were completely somewhere else. Umar al-Khattab used to be that guy who used to be always out with his drinking buddies. Changing that man from a, you could say, close alcoholic, right? Close to borderline alcoholic, to be one of the greatest people to walk over the face of the earth, it takes two big components. Number one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously allowing you to do such a thing. And second of all, is accepting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you guidance. Because guidance can come through many ways, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can just choose to guide someone and they didn't expect it and it just happens.
Yeah.
Or other people, when they honestly are searching for something, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the tools and they accept it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So even in that sense, you can see how these people quickly became the greatest people that walked to earth after the messengers, peace be upon them all.
Peace be upon them all. So let's just introduce everything quickly now that we've had that discussion.
Right.
You are based in Holland.
I am.
You live in Holland.
I live in Rotterdam. Yes.
You're Somali.
I am.
And a question that I think myself, Musa, Ali must get it as well. A question we get a lot is, why is Muhammad always in the UK? And what does Muhammad do? So, who are you and why are you always in the UK?
Well, actually, I'm a professional baller. That's basically how I can describe myself, isn't it? So, in that sense, I travel a lot when it comes to Holland and the UK. Because you could say from your doorstep all the way to my doorstep in total with traffic and the airport and all of that will not take me longer than 4 hours,
okay,
in that sense. So, that's quite all right, basically, right? Mm. That's quite doable.
Mm.
But now, the thing is, my friends are here, you lot are here, my family lives here, and I also got some...
When you say family, not your mom and dad.
No, I mean like my aunties and my uncles. Let me turn
you
my
have family,
phone
yeah.
even off. Yes, I do, alhamdulillah, I do have family. I'm quite blessed to have family.
Okay.
Which is not a given, quite a thank you to, to make us aware of that, because there are loads of people who live on their own and completely with themselves as well. Anyways, besides that, that's basically what's my biggest motivation to be here. Obviously, you guys, I'm trying to do some stuff myself. I'm learning from you with your business. I'm learning from Ali with his mindset. I'm learning from Musa, becoming an entrepreneur soon enough, hopefully. Right, Musa? So, yeah.
Musa doesn't need work. Work needs Musa.
Musa is like Sheikh of professional ballers.
So, you come down to UK basically to spend time with people.
Right. Basically, that's it. That's my biggest
But you're also working on trying to figure out ways that you're trying to find yourself in regards to your career side?
Not necessarily. That's not the case. I know that I'm gonna I know what I'm gonna do.
What is it?
I'm under NDA, so I can't say too much about it.
Okay.
But I can give you a bit of a gist in it.
Okay.
So what I'm doing, I want to enable my community in Holland, especially the Revert community, which I help set up, and I work at the masjid with the biggest growth of new Muslims every year, around between 40 to 70 people a year that revert in our mosque. I'm trying to figure out a way to empower them financially and to make sure that the dawah can grow, because we are at a high and a high peak.
Mm-hmm.
Rotterdam is the city of entrepreneurs in Holland. It is known for its working mentality, and I want to take that to the next level and empower, you know, just kids like me to do stuff.
And do you ever want to be able to help people who have disabilities like yourself, or is that something that, like, do you want to do some work towards that or not?
Define help. What type of help? Are we talking about medical care? Are we talking about attention? Are we talking about motivation? Are we talking about job opportunities? What do you specifically mean with help?
I mean all of them, to be honest. Job opportunities is a really good one.
Right.
On this podcast, we tend to talk a lot about kind of work and business and that kind of stuff. Have you found that work has ever been an issue being... I always forget what... Visually impaired.
Visually impaired, yes. Yes, it has been a tremendous issue, basically. But the thing is, I have the...
Have you looked for work?
And I've worked. I have multiple jobs. Some of them actually refused me 3-4 times up until the moment I just actually went to their offices and started bugging them in it.
Okay.
And then he said, "Okay, all right, then find them. Come work for a day. See if you can do it." And then they were like, "Oh, you actually a human being who can walk, talk, and think. And maybe this will work out." So my first job was as a KFC in Holland.
Yeah. Stop banging the table.
The first halal KFC in Holland.
Before I hurt you.
Wow, that escalated quickly. So,
KFC in Holland.
KFC in Holland. The first halal KFC in Holland, mind you. So that was quite sick to work there and obviously bring me back home and all of that stuff.
But how did you? What did you do there?
Well, I was a cook.
You was a cook?
Yes.
And you're 99% blind?
Yes, I am 99% blind.
And how did you cook?
Well, like that's a negative way of saying it. How about you can say, hey, you're 1% visually capable.
Okay, that's very positive. True. That's very true.
Yes.
My bad. I'm sorry. That's very true. You're 1% visually capable.
Yes.
And how did you cook?
Well, I literally just figured out a system that works for me. And it depends on your environment, depends on what kind of lighting you got, depends on your equipment as well, depends on your workflow, and obviously how quick you need to deliver a certain product. And with KFC, in that sense specifically, we're not delivering fast food necessarily. We're delivering chicken, right? So the process of the chicken takes at least, you could say, 2 to 3 hours from just coming out of the truck, being marinated, and then being prepared before it's in your bag, in your paper bag, and you can take it home. So that process of 3 hours, that I was highly interested in it, and I tried to figure out a system that worked for me and my environment, and my boss used to allow me to experiment with that as well, to come with new ideas. So I kind of have free reign, basically.
I think a lot of people take inspiration from that, from the fact that you... you haven't let that kind of visual impairment get to you. You fully got like a job, which most people would think that you would need a full eyesight, like a vision to do. A cook, like
Doesn't even stop there. Then after that, I worked at a graveyard for some time, and you'll be like, "What graveyard? What did you do?" I made sure that the graveyard looked presentable for the guests, as we call them, dead people, right?
No way.
And for their families. So what we used to do, we used to maintain the yard, we used to take care of that. And actually, that's one of the most scariest jobs I had in my life, you know that? So it was proper freaky, and especially winter time, isn't it? You could say after, 5, 6, it starts to become dark. And then
Where did you pray?
We need to just go outside of the cemetery, isn't it? What else can you do? Well, it is what it is. Prayer never is a problem. If you honestly think about it, you can't find an excuse for yourself. So you always need to figure out that way, innit? In that sense. What I'm saying is, it's just freaky to be around all of these tombstones. This is not an Islamic graveyard, mind you. So you got tombstones everywhere, written out messages and poets. And some of my coworkers just used to scare and take the piss with each other.
But they would never do that with you.
They just read the tombstone out loud, innit? But then in a very, very weird sound. And other people get proper scared. They thought that we were so cold or something like that. But it was quite funny. And then after that, I had a job as a salesman going door to door.
You've had more jobs than me.
Is it?
Way more jobs.
Well, you don't become a professional baller with a zero balance, bro.
So you were door to door salesman?
Yes. I did that for about 3 years.
But I can imagine, like, trying to find the door number would be difficult.
Oh, yeah, quite well. Sometimes I used to end up in someone's backyard, basically. And I just used to knock the back door and be like, hey, hi, madam, sir, how you doing?
My name's Mohammed.
Oh, yeah, well, again, when it becomes dark, when it becomes after 6 and you're still doing sales up to 10, imagine you have this black guy, 9:30, standing in front of your door with a black jacket on, and you open the door and he starts talking, hey, sir, hello, how you doing, madam? Today we're talking about this product we have right now. I would like to show you, if you give me just 1 minute, get a product out of your bag, put it into their hands, and be like, you know what this is? No, you don't. Let me tell you, sir, it is a life changer. That's what it is.
Door-to-door sales, is that even something that even exists?
Yes, it is, man.
That's, I can't imagine door-to-door sales being like...
It does. It's very
effective.
Big.
Is it effective?
Well, it's proper. It's, I used to make mad money.
Really?
Yeah. Working 2-3 days a week, selling sometimes for 300 euros a day.
You make commission per product?
Yes, you do. And you also get, like, obviously you get a salary, because by law they are forced to do so. They need to pay your minimum wage. But then the more sales you make, the higher you go. Sometimes you just earn 60 pounds a day. Sometimes 120, sometimes 280. Depends on how good your sales are, how good your day is that day.
That's insane.
Yeah. Mad money, man.
Before we jumped into the podcast, when we were having a discussion, I said that I wanted to grab you on the podcast.
Right.
I thought it'd be very beneficial for people to listen to. We actually did a video. When did we do the video that we put on my channel about...
In Ramadan, innit?
Oh, was it this year Ramadan?
Yeah, it was this year Ramadan, man.
This year Ramadan, we made a video.
The holy jokes.
And it's cool, yeah. That was a controversial joke.
Okay, you got refuted at Friday Center.
Allah tested me with blindness.
Right.
That's what it was called.
Right.
It was a 30-minute interview, and it was like probably my first ever serious video.
Okay, it was my first ever serious interview as well.
Yeah, well, it was probably your first ever interview. Let's be honest.
Wow. Are you saying you make me famous?
We're filming it. Well, now. Now.
How about
now
all you guys that follow my Instagram? Because I need some followers. How about you give me a shout out on that?
How many followers do you have on Instagram?
About almost 3K.
300.
3K.
Sure. Before we jump to it, so as I was saying.
Okay, I just love. I really love your personality. I just wanted to say that.
I'm being serious.
Like, your jokes and all of that, just in general, like, you're a very pleasant person.
No, you're being too nice. Because I'm awful. What I was gonna say, but quickly, if do you want to move yourself a bit to your right, because that when you move, as in shift your actual chair, because when you move the table and you move the camera and the camera shakes. Yeah, like that. Just at least you're not touching. All right, cool. Before we jumped onto the podcast, we spoke and I said I wanted you on the podcast and stuff. And you said that there was something specifically that you wanted to talk about. You said that there's something that you feel passionate about. What was
right,
it?
Right. Okay, that's what I really, really want to bring home, and this is the point everyone needs to understand here, is that we need to empower our community. That's something where you guys in the UK are walking miles ahead in front of our guys in Holland. And that is, you need to understand if you're doing da'wah, or even if you're just a Muslim supporting your local da'wah project. Because not everyone needs to be a da'i. Not every successful Muslim that out there in the limelight needs to do da'wah and talk about the deen, all of that. Because if literally everyone does that, who's going to listen to the scholars, right? There's no point. There's literally no point. Sometimes people ask you, oh, how come you don't do da'wah? You got 20,000 followers, you don't do da'wah. Waki do da'wah. You need to understand everything is in time and the place, isn't it? There are multiple scholars that wrote about how to do this properly, right? Mm-hmm. They're saying, first you got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Mm-hmm. And then he legislated the prophets. The prophets are allowed to do literally everything because they are directly following the command of Allah ta'ala. Then you got the kings. And people are like, no. You got the scholars. No. Ulama say, first you got the kings, the people in power. They control the general masses, right?
Okay.
Then you got the scholars. The scholars advises the king, but the general masses need to shut up towards the king.
Okay.
Otherwise, you get problems. You get rebelling against the rulers. All of that.
Yeah.
Now the scholars, they're on another level. They use jargon that the general public sometimes doesn't understand. So they can't directly go and walk to easy men like us. Imagine Imam Bukhari will be in front of you, and giving you advice. You won't understand half of the stuff he's selling, innit? Mm-hmm. You won't get it. So what happens? The scholars, they have students. Those students are da'is. They do da'wah. Right?
Okay, yeah.
Those students are in direct link with you and me.
Okay.
They are just general guys and girls, if they're studying on the sisters, right? Who know how it is to live in this society, but they are protected a bit by their teacher who's looking after them. Mm-hmm. But that same student of knowledge, that same da'i, doesn't talk to the rulers, doesn't talk to the kings, doesn't get in political debates. Then you got a system. We don't have that system here right now. But that in and of itself, do you see what I'm saying? So the general public, everyone who's just getting a bit big on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, who's trying to do whatever they're doing. Just look at you, for example, with Zaha, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a fantastic brand, by the way.
Jazakallah.
Really like it, like your hoodies.
I don't have any hoodies.
Yes, you do. Oh, what'd you call that thing? Wow. What'd you call that then? What's that word? What's that
thanks,
word in
thanks for liking the hoodies that I don't actually.
What is that word in
actually
English?
Actually, have Mohammed. Thanks. You just showed me that you love.
Thank you. No, that's word. That word. Wow. English is my third language, people. So don't listen to these two. They just
a hoodie has a hood.
Yes.
It doesn't take someone who has first level English to know that a hoodie is something that has a hood.
I don't even have first level English.
Yes, you do. Look, you talk this whole conversation in English.
No, because I learned it from YouTube.
You learned English from YouTube?
Yes, I did.
Can you speak any other languages?
Yes.
What do you speak?
I speak Somali.
Yeah.
Dutch.
Yeah.
English. Mm-hmm. I'm learning Arabic at the moment. And I'm also learning French.
You're learning France?
French.
He's learning France.
Wow.
He's clearly not.
Yo, Musa, France, do you speak any other languages?
No, the thing is, France is the word for French in Dutch. That's why I said France.
Musa, do you speak any other languages?
No.
You do, don't you? I know, I've heard you speak Urdu, so that's a lie.
Yeah, I speak Urdu.
English, Urdu, and...
This Urdu is rubbish, even I know that.
Can you speak Punjabi?
Yeah.
You can speak it, or you can just understand it.
He was Bengali.
Fluently.
He was Somali. Yeah.
Did you learn Urdu, or did you learn Punjabi?
Punjabi.
Same.
Yeah.
So you can't actually speak Urdu that well?
Listen, am I your guest, or is he your guest?
We're all in the room together, so
we're not.
Selfish with your mic.
I'm your guest.
No. Anyway, Musa. So Musa, just ignore the guy who actually has the mic. I learned Punjabi as well. Yeah. Where's your dad from?
Pakistan.
No, but where in Pakistan?
Islamabad.
Oh, they speak Punjabi there? Where's your mum that taught you Punjabi?
No, they do speak Punjabi in Islamabad as well.
Where's your mum from?
Same.
Is it?
Yeah.
So who taught you Punjabi?
Well, my family. My grandma, the only person I would actually speak a foreign language with is my grandma, and she would speak Punjabi, so I would speak with her. That's why I got familiar with it.
Oh, you speak in English with your mum and dad at home?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
You still do?
Yeah, 100%.
That's crazy.
Yeah, fully.
Who would you speak with your... Look how sad Mohammed looks that we've moved the conversation on from him.
Actually, I'm quite tired, so I was almost sleeping.
Well, I've given you coffee for a reason.
Yeah, well, it's not clicking in.
Okay, get your stupid point. No, I'm joking. Astaghfirullah. No, get your point about you said that. But when you spoke to me on the phone, you said that you know. No, I'm not talking about the da'i thing. You said on the phone, I want to speak to people about the dreams or something.
Dreams. Let it. Like, okay, my first motivation for that is the giving hand is stronger than the hand that's taking.
No, what is it that you're speaking about, Mohammed?
just give me a moment.
You're telling us the content about it, like, what is you talking about?
Hold up, because that's pure gold, isn't it? I can't rush gold, Aki. You can't rush perfection.
But we have to know. The viewers are like, what is Mohammed talking about?
Okay, today I'm talking about chasing your dreams.
Okay, chasing your dreams.
Focusing on them. Okay. Realistic dreams, mind you.
Though. And why do you feel like you are in the position that you can tell people how to chase their dreams? I'm not saying that as like a rude thing.
I understand what you mean. I understand what you mean.
Why did that thought come to your head?
I think that I'm in that position because I've realized loads of them myself personally. Mm-hmm. My biggest being independent, right? Because if you look at the blind community, necessarily the people who are almost completely blind, they are living in a controlled environment.
Okay.
There are people who will take care of them. There are people who help them go to do some groceries. There are people who decide everything for them. There are people who do their paperwork. There are people who control their bank balance. There are people who even steal from them in that
very
sense.
True, very
right?
True, very true.
So they are locked in. I decided when I was 13 to move out up until the moment that I can take care of 18. I wanted to be able to take care of myself. And alhamdulillah, I achieved that.
Wait, you moved out at
13 years old.
You moved out at 13
left
years
my
old.
Parents' house.
SubhanAllah.
Haven't been back since.
You have a good relationship with your parents, though.
Pardon?
You have a good relationship with your parents.
Okay, I love my parents, man. Okay. My parents are pure gold. The biggest ni'mah in this dunya after my life.
Bro, this is so inspiring. So at 13, you decided, look, I want to be an independent person,
right,
regardless of my visual impairment.
Definitely.
And you actually went about achieving that target.
Yes.
And just as a side note, ever since I've known you, literally the most independent person I know. More independent than me, more independent than people, the majority of people who are not visually impaired. So how did you go about then achieving that dream then?
Well, it was quite difficult, especially in the beginning, because obviously you don't have any safety net. Because I didn't want to live close to my parents and live on my own. I decided to move to the other side of the country.
Oh, wow.
Basically saying, okay, listen, my parents, they live in London. I'll go all the way to Birmingham. Just because.
No, but how does one move out at 13 years old? You don't have money, you don't have, you can't even get a house.
Even that challenge, I succeeded in doing that. I got the government involved.
What did you tell them? That your parents beat you?
Well, imagine you go and you walk up to the government. You'd be like, hey, listen, guys, I'm blind. I can get all the money I need for the rest of my life. How about you guys already pay me that? There's going to be a couple of hundreds of grand in it in total.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
How about you invest just a little teeny tiny bit?
And give me a house.
And give me a house.
And they gave it to you.
And you know what happened? They put me in a program that I need to share houses with loads of other white people. And that's quite good for me as well. Because that made me understand how white people live, right? And with white people, I don't mean like revert people. I mean like proper white people.
So you're not referring to white people then? Because that's you're basing that on a color.
Yeah.
What
I mean with white people.
You mean Dutch people?
Just proper Dutch people and Dutchies.
You mean Dutch people who haven't got backgrounds that are
nothing. They've never seen a black man in their life, innit?
Okay,
it's
okay.
The first time they're getting confronted with one, innit?
Okay.
I've been able to live with them for 5 years. 5 years to live with them.
Yeah.
3 years intense, and then the other 2 years was like when they were neighbors.
So you mean non-Muslims?
Non-Muslims.
Okay. Not white people necessarily. I'm just trying to clarify.
No. Yeah, just proper Dutch people with no Islamic or ethnic background other than their own ethnicity.
Okay, I understand completely.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
So what I'm saying is, it was quite an eye-opener because obviously there's so much stuff where you were like in your life, oh, that's normal. Obviously you don't do that. Obviously you don't do that. But they'll ask me questions. Why do you believe that? Why do you need to pray? Why do you need to fast? Why are you starving yourself? But then again, I would go the extra mile, and when I was doing Ramadan, I would sit on the dinner table with them. They're all eating and talking and jolly. I would just chilling there with them. Because if you lose that connection, yeah, I realize the moment you lose that connection and you alienate yourself, okay, that's the moment you're hurting yourself and the dawah in and of itself. Mm-hmm. You should never ever be afraid to talk to people. Oh, maybe he'll ask me a question and my imam will go so low. Then your imam has a problem, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Your imam has a problem where you don't dare to speak to people because you're afraid that you're going to lose your deen. Then your deen is weak in the beginning in the first place, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, what are you losing?
So you left your house, you start sharing. So for the next 5 years of your life, you're sharing houses with other people.
Three years. And then afterwards, then I was 16.
Okay.
I got my own place, literally my own place.
Yeah.
My own floor, so to say, in a flat.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine was getting the floor beneath me,
mm-hmm.
and we're sharing that house. And they'll come by once every a day. They'll come by for like half an hour to see how you're doing, innit.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it. Was the house not burned down, blah blah blah. Okay, so a year later, they said, we got a program. We'll give you a completely newly built house for the next 2 years, completely scot-free, alone in the city center. We won't unless you call us, we'll leave you be. I was just turning 17 then.
Okay.
I said, give me that. I signed the papers, did what I needed to do. And I got my house. From that, they said, okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to stay with us and do you want to stay in the house for another 2 years? I said, no, I just want to get my own place. Can you afford that? I'll figure it out. So I got my own place and alhamdulillah, I figured it out.
Alhamdulillah.
So
where did you meet Julian Long Bay? Because now you live with Julian, right?
Ah, okay, yeah. That is a process about 2 years ago now, 2.5 years almost. I was approached by a couple of people who said, oh, we're trying to get the Da'wah men squad. We're trying to get them all to come to Holland. Okay, help us out, blah, 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 blah. I got approached because I had quite a big following in Holland. I do make videos in Holland, so I had a following about 12K following, something like that. So they asked me to approach me. I said, yeah, all right, but who's managing it? No one's really managing it. It was all over the place, kind of. So
was Julian Muslim at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Julian already became Muslim then, like, now it's already, oh, in May, I think it's going to be 4 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
That he reverted to Islam, and Allah knows best. So in that sense, that's how I know him. We got to work together, and then we invited Musa, Ali, Oyen, and Baba Joel, and obviously, yeah, that was it. Baba Joel as well. We invited them, and then Musa wanted to stick around. Hey, please come to my yard. You guys are so amazing. I don't know what to do without you lot. So he begged us, and we booked a ticket. We stayed over at his yard. And then every 3-4 months, we've been coming back. In the last year, I think in the last year, I went 15 times to the UK.
Bro, you come to UK so much. Like, I'm 15 surprised they don't get, times. Like, I'm surprised they're not like, this is a bit dodgy. You're, it feels like sometimes you're here more than Holland.
I know.
You feel, it feels like, you know when you're... like your house
last, right? Ramadan I came the half of Ramadan, then I went back for 2 to 10 days, and then I stayed for another month and a half here.
Yeah, but this Ramadan is just gone.
Yeah. It was quite long.
You know what it feels like, Musa? It feels like, you know when there's a fly in your house and you're trying to get it out, and you open all the windows so it has no reason to stay, but it just doesn't leave.
Well, you're forgetting it's the fly. It's not there because it can't move.
That's what
the fly
like
is there, because it wants your... Pardon?
I'm joking. What?
You said it doesn't have a reason to stay. Stay, right? Listen, the fly is not stuck there, right? It can go whenever it wants. The only reason is this, because it wants your blood, Aki.
So you want our blood?
I want your blood.
Okay, moving swiftly forward.
Yeah.
So why are you here this time around in the UK? You're just here for, you see family stuff. You're seeing family tomorrow,
yep,
right?
There is a wedding, my friend. There's a wedding on Saturday of my cousin. Allah bless her, my favorite cousin.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
And how old is it? I don't want to ask the first question, but I mean, like, I'm always intrigued. I'm very intrigued at the age of people get married, because there's a big discussion about whether people should get married young, or if it's a good thing. Like, I know we agree.
If I'm not mistaken, she's turning 24 in about a couple of weeks.
And what's your opinion on young marriage?
The younger, the better. As long as you have a mentality that can handle it. That's very important. I don't care if you're 24, 18... or 32, if you don't have the mentality to handle it, right, to see the bigger picture, you're marrying a person, not a robot.
But
you're marrying someone who stinks, who farts, who poops, and who sometimes looks disgusting.
My wife doesn't do any of this.
Okay, all right then, you go think about that. I'm saying to you, like, when you have the mentality, there's another human being that has shortcomings, some could be bigger than mine, and they can get annoyed with the ones I have, and you still want to go and build something with a person, because two of you can handle a problem better than you could do on your own, right? Then go for it.
But you, are you married?
Me, no.
Are you looking for marriage?
What is it? Define looking.
Are you open to being married within the next couple of days?
You could say that I'll try to get married, inshallah ta'ala, within now and a year, yes.
Inshallah.
I would love to start my family.
Inshallah, may Allah make it easy for you. May Allah bless it for you.
Ameen.
And bless you with a pious wife who fulfills your needs and desires.
And who can crack jokes. Ameen.
Ameen. Ameen.
Loads of jokes.
But sorry?
Loads of jokes.
Do you like jokes? You love jokes, innit?
I got jokes, son. You don't know.
How's the halal dining tour? How did you find that?
Halal dining is quite sick, man. We just recorded another one at Fat Burger about a week ago when I was here. Actually, that's quite funny. Last week I was in the UK.
I thought you already done it. You already done a Hello Dining Fat Burger.
No. Yeah, well,
that's like the first ever one. Oh, that's Big Mo's.
Yes, that's Big Mo's. This is the first ever one. Big Mo's, yeah. But the thing is, with me, with Hello Dining, I got this character going on of the food critic Abdullah. I said, quite critical, and I try to bash the food and the place and all that space. And obviously, in the beginning, we must have a funny intro. So I would advise all of you guys to check out Hello Dining and to subscribe.
Thanks, Mohammed.
And unsubscribe for Facebook channel.
Subscribe for more content.
You said you was gonna get the Muslim Dawah movement YouTube or something like up and running. Have you managed to do that?
Yes, although Mr. Faisal bought me a light, which is partly broken, and he.
No, you asked for the.
No, Faisal. No, Faisal. I asked Faisal.
Basically, what's happening? He asked me to go buy a ring light.
Faisal, I'm still talking.
This is my show.
But I'm your guest, Faisal.
He asked me to buy him a light, yeah, Musa. And then I got him the light, and he was like, "Make sure you buy me the attachment so I can attach my camera to it." So I also bought that as well. Yeah. And then he said,
"Did he bring it to me?" No, he only gave me a lamp, and I can't put it.
Now he's saying it didn't come, but I did buy it. So
liar.
Now we got to figure out who the liar is.
You. She took my money.
Wallahi,
took my money.
There we go. I'll order it again, just so you're happy.
Thank you, because you took my money. Stealing from the blind.
Wow, why would you have to go there?
Because you went there, you did it.
You're the one who just said that.
Should I cut off your hand?
Okay, let's not go that far. Have you seen the... I'm gonna go straight into current events right now, yeah?
Right.
The current events, right. Recently...
Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton going at it.
I'm not... Do you want to speak about Donald Trump?
Yes, third and final debate was last night. Did you check it out?
Was it?
Yes, man.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did.
Well, what did you think?
Well, I think... Let me be very clear. Yeah. I don't like Hillary Clinton. I really don't like Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton. I don't really like her. Yeah, it's quite difficult for me to pronounce that name, probably.
Hillary.
What's her name?
And also... You're even struggling to speak your mother tongue, so don't speak to me, bro. Burned.
Burned. Hillary Clinton. Yeah. You don't like her.
I don't really like her style of politics. She's very stale, and also some of her ideas are quite peak. Basically, she wants to plunge the USA in another war, and probably it might be a nuclear war as well. But you need to really listen carefully to her ideas, especially on foreign affairs.
There's one good thing about Trump. It's the fact that he's anti-war, you know that?
Is he anti-war?
Anti-war? That guy's anti-you, man.
Yeah, he's anti-Muslim.
Anti-war as well, you know?
He's anti-Muslim.
Donald Trump is calling for a complete and total shutdown of Muslims entering to the United States until we figured out what the hell is going on. Right.
What do you think about this theory that I've come up with, yeah? I'm sure this theory exists, yeah, already, but I'm just going to pretend like I made it up because that's just the way it is.
Go on.
Hillary Clinton has been trying... Hillary Clinton...
Oh, no.
That just stopped
Hillary,
my recording, man.
Hillary Clinton.
Basically, my mother-in-law is calling me, but I'm... It just almost stopped the recording.
I'm so sorry, okay, mother of Faisal's wife. The Faisal's not picking up right now.
Here's my theory that probably exists. Here's my theory. I think that Hillary Clinton. I think that Hillary Clinton has tried for many years to get into as a president. Right? Correct? She has.
Well, yeah. She's okay. Been very close to the Oval Office. Yes.
And she's failed every time. Yeah. And
the reason you can't say that
she has though, because she hasn't been president, bruv. What do you mean you can't say that? She's not president, bruv.
No, because she's
failed.
No, but how many times? How many times did she go for the White House?
Okay, I don't know. This is my damn theory.
So you can't say she failed if you don't know how many times she even tried to get
it. Let me just listen to my theory, okay?
Go on.
So she's failed at trying to become president, right. Yeah? And the reason she's failed is because people don't like her and her policies, correct? Correct.
Not necessarily.
Yes, let's just carry on with it. My theory. Now, the people in power, because I think it's all one power, yeah? Yeah, I know. This is my theory, yeah? My theory is that the people in power are saying, the people in power are basically saying, we want Hillary to become president, but we don't know how to do it because every time we try, she always fails. So the only way to do it is to give her an opponent that is so, like, that people are going to hate so much, yeah, that they have to vote for her. Because, bro, back in the day, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, they used to be like best friends, but they used to do like charity things together. Like, I'm sure he must have funded her campaign before. So like, I think that they were friends, and like the powers came to these terms together, and they decided, right, she's gonna be the next president. So the way to do it and to make it seem like a democracy is to give her an opponent that everybody hates so much, so that they have to vote for her. What do you think about that theory?
I don't believe it. I don't buy it. Because you need to understand the character of Donald Trump.
I'm basing that theory of no education.
What
do you think of that theory, Musa?
You don't know Donald Trump, man. He's talking about ACN, bro. Please sit yourself down.
Musa, what do you think about my theory?
I think your theory is accurate.
What?
Really?
I think Muhammad doesn't know about politics.
What?
Bro, this way, at least I'm admitting I don't know about politics, but it just seems like it just seems to make sense to me.
Mm-mm.
Bro,
it doesn't.
Wait, did you guys hear about that thing in the US that this is fact, this is news, that the US, it came out that the Pentagon or something,
the Hexagon.
Something like that, they bought $500 million worth of fake footage from the UK to pretend.
Yeah, yeah.
the Taliban thing.
Terrorist thing.
Yeah. Did you hear about that, Mohammed?
Well, yeah, some of it's been confirmed, some of it isn't.
Apparently they staged some like ISIS videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which is a bit mad.
But you understand, foreign affairs is a complicated thing, yeah, and loads of it has been.
Mohammed argues with everything.
We have George Mohammed Bush.
Mohammed, like, is there anything, like, let's try and say something and see if he doesn't agree with it.
Right.
Disagree with it. Okay, Mohammed, Apple is the best technology company in the world.
Define best.
No, but even you said that it's the best technology company, so now you're arguing your own point.
No, it's not the best. You can't say that because even.
But you love Apple.
What do you even. I totally do. It's my favorite. It's my favorite company, my favorite tech company, even, right? But like to say something is the best is relative, right? So we can't say something that is relative and then say, oh, it's a fact.
Okay, Mohammed.
It's objectively
the best.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, so if, it's objectively the best,
then
it's the best, bro.
No, but that's what
he's
I
not
mean.
Saying subjectively.
The moment he says, oh, so, oh excuse me, that's true. That's incorrect. That's incorrect. Excuse me.
What? Yeah, I'm so confused right now.
subjectively, is the best company.
Okay. What? Subjectively, what? To you, it's the best company.
Right.
Okay. Okay, Mohammed, how about this? The education. No. Let's think of something that is hard to argue against. Yeah. Are you ready?
Go on.
Here we go. Should we legalize marijuana?
It won't solve any of your problems because in Holland they tried it, didn't it? And it only brought them into bigger, more problematic situations. You can try it as a government,
but it's intoxicant anyway. So I don't know why we're having discussion.
I was thinking, Mohammed, why don't you speak about how Apple actually benefits your visual impairment?
Oh, we did on his video already.
Did we?
Check out Allah Tested Me with Blindness on Faisal Chaudhry's channel.
Do you know what actually really changed a lot of things for me, and it helped me with regards to my work? Because when I did that video with you, I think I was still working at Apple at the time, was I?
Right.
Was I?
Yes, you was.
And I went back to work and I said, like, because we had to do like an entire week training on disabilities and how to like help people. And in Regent Street, we got. Bro, in Regent Street, yeah, we had people coming in all the time, yeah. Bro, it's so inspiring. Like, you get customers coming in that are, like, fully blind, and you have to help them, and they're so inspirational because they know more than you. Do you know what I'm saying? And, like, I was speaking about Mohammed at work, and I was saying, like, I have a friend, and because basically they showed us a video at Apple of this Apple conference where this blind guy, like, got up and spoke, and he said that Apple changed my life. Like, it's really changed my life. Like, it's allowed me to access things that I never thought I could access. And Mohammed said the same thing to me. So, that guy wasn't even an actor. Like, he was a and Mohammed was saying, like, it's completely changed
the way. I will tell you this. If Apple today will offer me a job to work on these types of projects, I got the sickest ideas for them. I mean it. Like, just to get, like, I'm a bit of a technology nerd. I don't know about you guys, but let's just talk about one of their products that's coming out actually next week, the AirPods, right? Yeah. What they did, they made a custom chip for it. They call it W1 chip, right? In that chip, they make sure that they use battery efficiency, optimize both of the products, and they make sure that the moment it's detected that you're using it, it's already connected, and the moment you plug it out of your ear, oh, you don't need to disconnect it because it already knows you're not using it anymore immediately. Yeah. If they would just do just the same thing with glasses, if they would do the same thing with those sticks, and if they would do the same thing with your wallet, they could change the life of blind people even more. They could do something so sick. And I would call it, in essence, because they got multiple kits for developers, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is why I call it Enable Kit. Enable the world.
You're giving away your secret for free.
They can use it as long as someone benefits from it, right? I'll tell you the whole concept. I worked stuff out. I don't need to make any money of it as long as I can use it, man. I don't care.
Uh-huh. Mohammed.
Yes.
Also at work, we had one customer that I just remembered, and this really inspired me. I had a customer who was a Muslim guy about our age, and he was deaf. I think he was completely deaf, and I had the most like inspirational conversation. He comes into the store, and I was working on like the at the front where you welcome people, so that was my job for the day, to just like welcome people in. And this guy came and then he was trying to speak to me and explain that maybe I think he had an issue with one of his products. And then I was like, one of our team members signs, they can do sign language. So I took him downstairs and I said, I tried to find this girl called Tash who does sign language. And I said, oh, hey Tash, like, I can't remember his name, it was some Muslim name, but let's just say like Amir or something. I was like, oh, I've got Amir here and he can't hear and you speak sign and he speaks sign, so I thought it'd be cool. And she's like, yeah, cool. And she's like, well, you can speak to him as well, like in sign. And then like this interaction of like us trying to sort out his product
right.
became him teaching me how to say my name in sign. And like we started having a conversation. Like obviously he can lip read as well, so like I was still speaking to him and stuff. And then we sorted out his product, but it was just so, it was more beneficial for me than it was for him. Like I had such a nice time like with this guy who was like, I was just like bonding with him.
Right.
And I don't know, man. Like I find inspiration out of people who don't let things like that get to them. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's because it's to us, to people who can hear, or like all three of us, we don't even think about it. We just like, well, it's
actually,
not.
Actually, my cousin, like I got two people in my family, they were like completely deaf. I got another cousin of mine who was mentally disabled. Got another cousin of mine who can't even walk. Like for me, like those stuff has become so normal, innit?
Yeah.
But for me, the difficulty is if you are visually impaired, it's really difficult to talk to someone in sign language. So the deaf and the blind to communicate between those two, a bit difficult. But then obviously,
have you ever had to communicate with a deaf person?
Yeah. But you know what I do then? What? Texting, bro. Texting is the solution. You get me? Think in solutions.
How though? Because you really struggle to read the text.
I use voice to text. I push the Siri button.
Oh,
and
you
speak
can
and it types it, and then he just replies to me, and I just use voiceover to listen to what.
Oh, that's
he
very says clever.
That's so quite sick, isn't it? Mm. Technology in and of itself, I can get so gassed about that topic in and of itself. Just to look at today, guys, my iPhone came in and I'm in the UK.
Yeah, iPhone 7 came in, didn't
my it? iPhone 7 came in. You know, my iPhone 6 Plus that I got now for 2 years,
yeah,
it's become so slow. I'm waiting for that technology, because you know, the 6S last year, they had the touch sensitive, like the 3D touch. That in and of itself, just to use that as a haptic feedback, is going to make things better for me. Why? Because now I know for definite when I press a button. You get me?
Yeah.
So it's going to make... I'm so excited. Small little things like that, yeah.
But you got the haptic feedback on the iPhone 6S as well?
No, but I have 6 Plus. I don't have 6S.
Oh, does it not happen on the 6
no,
either?
No, it's like with 6S,
no
man.
Way. Yeah. It's even beneficial for me.
I
love it.
That's what I really need it. I want it as well. That's going to... Stuff like that in and of itself, yeah? It's going to be sick. I still need to write to Tim Cook a letter.
You have the iPad Pro as well, don't you?
I have iPad Pro. I have it with me as well. Not here, but in Moses' house right now.
Does that benefit you a lot?
Yes, I have a case on it. Put the Logitech case on it. I use it as well as a laptop. I'm saving up for an iMac right now because I need a computer as well, I realize. You can't... The time is not here that you can only do everything on an iPad. Thing is, I can't do video editing on it. That's why I don't make any videos right now. Like, I don't have a computer at all.
So you want to be able to help the... blind community by which it sounds to me like by through innovation,
actually life hacks is the
whole
thing.
But helping them through like technology, right. Which is because bro, right now the biggest industry and the most growing industry is the industry of tech.
Yes.
And it makes no sense for anybody to start a business nowadays unless it's going to be in tech.
Right.
And I know that coming from me, that sounds stupid because
obviously he started clothing.
But anyone who comes to me and says I want to start clothing, I'm like, right. Why would you not want to start a business in tech? Why would you not want to start an app which you can like start, put all your effort into, and then build users and sell it for millions? Like it's all work your butt off on clothing line, and that you have to work on constantly. You have to constantly package every day. You have to buy packaging. You have to buy stock. You have to design stuff. Like it makes no sense. But you put all that effort into designing and developing an amazing app. You sell the app, or you just make monthly money off the app by selling like. By people paying for the app or by selling in-app purchases on the app. What I'm getting at is that tech is the biggest industry. So what you're saying is that you want to be able to help the blind community through innovating new tech products,
right?
That help the blind.
Yeah, I was even looking at government funding projects as well to see what we can do. But the thing is, Akin, that's what I'm saying. This is why I really want to start my own business. I want to start a, if you want to call it, see it as a shop, as a restaurant kind of thing. That's what we're thinking about right now. We're just thinking about the concept and how to do it and about the details of that concept. I'm on NDA, so I can't say. I got a non-disclosure agreement that I signed. So that is between me and my other two companions, Bidni Allah Azza wa Jal. Just to do projects like these and to make that completely free, to source it out for that sense, I need money, I need capital, and therefore I need to be stable in my own income. So yeah. I swear the giving hand is stronger than there was one mistaken in it. Because otherwise, if I wanted to do something like that, right, and dependent on support from government, and dependent on other people, I need to build my own little imperium, and then I can do it.
Yeah. Man, sounds like you got it figured out.
Inshallah.
And then at home, when you're not doing this, when you're in Rotterdam, you teach.
Say Rotterdam.
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 Rotterdam. In Rotterdam, you teach Quran.
I teach Quran and I study myself at the university of that as well. I study Islamic theology and I am one of the.
What's theology?
Theology is religion.
So you study Islamic religion?
Basically, I study Islamic religion.
And how do you teach Quran to people?
Memorization act.
So you have to memorize it because you can't read the Kitab. You have to memorize it.
They're not allowed to read as well in my classes. They only need to memorize whatever they know from their hearts.
Oh, you teach a memorization class?
No books allowed.
Well, right, for the people that are listening, what are the tips to memorize? What are the secrets?
Listen to one Qari, listen to one particular Imam you like. Don't listen to multiple because that would just confuse you in your tajweed. And get everything checked over and be constant, even if it's a couple of ayahs a day, innit? It doesn't need to be that long.
With your sheikh, just like voice note them or something.
No, not even with your sheikh. Just put on anyone. I would recommend that you listen to Abdul Basit.
Who?
Abdul Basit. He's not like the most sweet in sound, but he's the most correct in pronunciation.
Okay.
Literally the best when it comes to helping you make sure you don't make small little mistakes in your pronunciation.
Have you seen the Sheikh Abdul Rahman Ulusi?
No, Ulusi. I'm not sure.
Have you, Musa? No, have you guys not seen the Sheikh yet? This imam, he's like an imam from Makkah.
Have you seen Imam Faisal?
I've heard his stuff.
You heard his stuff, are you sure?
Yeah, I played you Imam Faisal's stuff. Yo guys, I can't believe that you guys haven't seen. This is the imam, he's like, you would have seen him because like on Instagram and stuff, they upload videos of him. I'll explain why I'm showing, but I'm going to get it up. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but it's like Abdul Rahman Ulusi or something. You haven't seen it? Let me show you. Abdul Rahman Al-Osi. Look, yeah. Here we go. Oh, my computer is.
Meanwhile, in Faisal's podcast.
Oh, you can't see him.
I know him.
Yo, can you see him? Look, zoom into him. I want you to see his face for a reason.
What? Apparently, does he look like you?
No. Okay, I'll tell you in a sec. Can you see him? Bro, do you want to see our five inches, dude? I love my body, he's such a good looking sheikh. Do you think?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Mashallah, mashallah. May Allah increase the nur on his face.
I mean, when I first saw his video, I was just like, his face looks.
Do you need to confess anything?
Nah, but his face looks like such peace and he looks like he has such nur. Allahumma barik. Don't you think? That his face looks so relaxed when he was reciting Quran. That's what captured me about that shaykh. Not even his visitation.
Those are talking about Yom Al-Qiyam, the beginning of Yom Al-Qiyam, innit?
No, there's videos of him like crying as he's reciting. But even then, like, I just never seen a sheikh who looks like, while they were reciting Quran, looks so at peace and like just relaxed, like, and his skin and his nur and everything. Like, you just, when you see that, right, then you're like,
That's the life.
That's what I wanna.
Yes.
You can see from his exterior that he's at peace. So like, that's what I wanna be like. Like, right. Then it's like, I would love to be able to, like, I would love for people to look at me and by looking at me, feel peace. Like, that's what I feel like when I look at that sheikh. Like, I feel like, oh, at peace. I'm like, oh, like, you know, when people look at me, they feel stressed. They do, like, no lie, because I'm such a stressful person. I'm like, constantly like, oh, why do you think I talk so fast? Because I'm like, a thousand things are going on at once in my head. So like, it's just stress. When people look at me, they just feel stressed themselves. It's all mad.
Right.
What can you take from that,
man? Nothing.
Well,
nothing. As I told you in the beginning, I can describe you as this energetic, bubbly guy, innit? It's very energetic and bubbly.
I don't know if it's energetic and bubbly or if it's stress.
I don't know. It's just your personality. It's quite suits you as well. It's quite nice. Like, you have this dry, you have this humor that everyone can make, but they don't know how to.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
That's the best way I can understand.
Maybe you shouldn't break my back.
No, like, listen, you have a funny, dry humor that it looks obvious, but you won't be able to come up with it yourself.
I actually don't understand what you're saying. Genuinely don't. I'm not trying to be humble.
Okay, just say it like this. You know someone who plays soccer, right?
Yeah.
And they're quite good at it. You can see all their technique, it's obvious that they're going to do something like that.
Oh, but
you won't be able
to
replicate it.
Oh.
So you're saying, this is how I look at your jokes. Like, your jokes, the moment you make them, I'm like, oh yeah, I could have made that one. But I won't be able to.
SubhanAllah. May Allah keep us all humble.
Ameen.
And not break each other's backs.
I mean,
I don't even understand the breaking back thing. I just use that because Ali always says it. What is it? Is it actually a hadith about something?
Well, the Prophet, peace be upon him, if I'm not mistaken, said, don't praise your brother too much in front of his face because you're breaking his back, innit?
What does that mean?
Well, overzealous, say, oh, Aki, oh, you're always so good looking. Oh, Aki, mashallah, you're so rich. Oh, Aki, oh, your deen is so smash. Oh, Aki, oh, mashallah, I wish I could pray like you. I wish I wasn't spied to you. You must be, oh, Aki, you must be a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, why am I saying Aki? It's Aki, people. Don't say Aki anymore. Aki is not a word.
Aki.
Aki is not a word. Quran is not a word. Salah is not a word. Yeah?
What's the word for Salah?
Salah. Say properly. Salah, Quran, Islam, Tawheed, Tajweed.
Okay. Back to the point.
Thank you. I hate that.
Well, we
off because, excuse me for my language.
You're going to...
I'm so sorry, it really bugs me because I'm hanging around with people who say the whole time around me, it comes in my vocabulary and it changes as well, innit? I don't want that.
But
I don't want people to say Aki. Ak. Ak.
I say Ak.
It's Aki.
Ak is just a short way of like...
Ak is fine, but don't say Aki then.
Okay.
You say you're the only person I know who says that.
Yeah. Don't get mad at yourself, Mohammed.
You just called me Melo. Do I look like your twin brother? Do I look like your twin brother?
No, I was just wishing that Melo was here, not you.
Well, then call him then. You're calling me on your stupid show.
Melo lives in London, but you still probably will get here faster than he will.
Love you, Melo.
I love you too, Melo. Okay.
No, he doesn't, Melo. He's copying me.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about Aki.
No, before that, you went off on a tangent.
Yes, Aki.
No, what were we talking
about? So what is it? Is it Quran or Quran?
Quran.
Okay.
Yo, so what are we talking about?
Is it zakat or what's the proper word for zakat?
Zakat.
Tayyib.
Okay, but what were we talking about?
Umrah?
I don't know.
Umrah. Ayn. Harf al ayn. Umrah.
Umrah.
Aywa. Sounds better, doesn't it?
It's aywa, not aywa.
You could say aywa and aywa, both of them. Probably. It depends. Oh, it does. It does. Okay, so you have multiple styles of Arabic. For example, the Moroccans, they call it Darija, right? And then obviously you got the Arabs. And the Arabs, they have two types. They have classical Fusha, they have the new style as well. But then you also got the people from Sham, from Syria. They prolong it. I'm teaching they hate benefits.
Okay, Mohammed, can I teach you some things?
Why are you calling me Melo again?
Forget that. Can I teach you some things?
Tell me.
Okay, Musa, can you give me that book? It's up there. Yeah. Why? Who cares? This is probably beneficial for the people who are married. Mohammed, this
what's is the what, title of the book?
It's called Islamic Guide to Sexual Relations.
Okay, well, come on then. Let's talk about it. That's actually something that I'm quite passionate about in Holland. You know that?
Huh?
That's what we're covering right now with my sheikh.
Can you get ahead? Yo, should we discuss this ourselves, Muslim? Let's have one. Okay. Do you want it?
Yeah.
Or do you reckon that's a bit, like, leave it?
Cause she's wow, you two, wow.
Okay, how about we make the podcast, but then I can't promise you that the podcast is gonna
go. Are you planning a podcast while your podcast is not even done? Are you serious?
Okay. No, we can't make a YouTube video about it. Okay, we'll consider this. Bro, we were talking about something. I can't remember what we were talking about. Could you remember, please?
You were supposed to teach me something.
Oh no, I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to do that right now. I can't. I can't even do that one.
Okay.
Oh, what was it? Nope, I can't remember. Okay.
Yeah, about praising someone to.
Oh, their face. That's it. We were talking about praising someone to their face.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah. In that sense. So if you're overzealous with it, like, you know what is with people, they do stuff like that. Like, there is a hadith, a very valid hadith, which should help you, right? And then people, they take it just at face value. But you need to understand that the Prophet meant sallallahu alaihi wasallam praising someone in one simple praise, mm-hmm. or did he mean praising someone overzealously, or did he mean praising someone in public or in private? Like, there's a reason the Prophet said something, right? Basically, a hadith, a action, or a silence agreeing, or something, a statement of the Messenger occurs because of a situation. Do you get me?
Yeah.
So always look at that. Try to figure out, okay, what when was this hadith?
So what does the breaking back thing mean?
Well, Allah Alam, I need to look into it, innit?
Oh, so you don't even know.
I don't even know.
Okay. Mohammed, thank you very much for jumping on the podcast.
Thank you as well for inviting me, for flying me out and paying £200. Oh no, you're not paying. That's true. I'm paying out of my own pocket.
I paid for the cab for you to get here from Musa's house.
Thank you for that £20 cab.
That cost me £20 and I expect that money back right now.
Okay, how about I pay that cab and you pay the £200 ticket?
No, I'll stick to paying the cab.
Okay.
Thank you much for being on the podcast, Mohammed.
You're welcome,
Faisal. Guys, remember that...
me and Faisal are doing an emotional interview.
Are we gonna?
Yes, you promised
today?
Me.
Today?
No, not today.
When then?
We can do tomorrow or Saturday.
We'll do it sometime, inshallah.
Sunday.
We'll do it sometime, inshallah.
He's nuts.
Thanks, Musa.
Yeah, thank you, Musa.
Guys, thank you for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Subscribe.